Come on. Good morning, Cornerstone. I got my watch with the timer this time. Last time I was here, I went a little long, so I got the countdown, and they're going to put one up there for me. So I want to respect your teacher's time, you know, because they are doing a great work to be serving out there with our children. So we want to respect their time. Just want to give a shout out to Byron and Danielle. Thank you guys so much. You know, I love them. Their oldest daughter, Samara, is right at the same age as Chloe. And, you know, years ago, we were in the same ministry at one point. I think they were, like, really small at the same time together, you know. And so I've known Byron and Danielle for a number of years. And, like, his voice, you're kind of one of the voices that's the soundtrack of my Christianity, honestly. Like, when I think about all the years and all the songs I've heard Byron sing over the years, and, you know, I'm just so grateful. You know, just called him up earlier this week. It's like, hey, bro, could you? I'm going to be preaching at Cornerstone. Could you come sing? And you know, I appreciated his response. He said, "Let me pray about it tonight, and I'll get back to you tomorrow." You know, my message today is on prayer. I love that. That's what his answer was. Let me pray about it. You know, and then about 7 o'clock next morning, he texts me. He's like, "Yeah, we're in." You know, and so I'm just so grateful. Thank you guys for being here, for lending your talents to the kingdom today. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start there in a moment. I've had a really fun and interesting last 2 weeks. I was here 2 weeks ago preaching, and it's just been amazing. You know, in the last 2 weeks, a lot has happened. I've had chances to hang out with several of you. Gooch and I go on prayer walks about once every couple of weeks, and we met up at the park to pray. I had a chance to have breakfast. Isaac Lee bought me breakfast. Yeah, it was awesome. It's at this little restaurant really close to where we live. And that was really cool. Talked to Doug Neiman on the phone last Sunday. And, you know, it's just been awesome. This past Tuesday, Jim and Cindy Albert came to my house. They actually brought dinner to our house for us. You know, originally they invited us over to theirs, and they said, you know, I know it's a school night. Would it be easier if we just brought you guys dinner? And so I just really appreciated our time together. It was just an awesome time. We got a chance to just talk, laugh, get to know each other. We prayed together, and it was just a really great time. But one of the most amazing things, one other thing. I went ice skating with your teens. That was really fun. They came over over to Roswell. The Northview teens went ice skating, and don't know if you know, Danny and Katie Cruz, who lead Northview's teens, his father actually passed away, and he'd been up in Boston, and so he had he'd asked me to chaperone, which I'm like, teens need a chaperone for ice skating, but anyway, I went, you know, me and Corey Cole, we went over there, and a lot of your teens came over, and it was a really great time. So it's just been amazing these last few months getting to know you all here at Cornerstone. But one of the most awesome things that I've had happen in the last 2 weeks is I've been taking just a lot of prayer walks. You know, a couple of months ago, Ben Barnett came to Northview and he preached on prayer. Then a couple of weeks ago, Steve Gooch preached on prayer. And so I've really been trying to just put it into practice, you know, the things that they talked about. And so today my message is going to be about prayer. The title of the sermon is Inside Out. I want to talk a little bit about prayer and fasting. So let's read over in Matthew chapter 6. We'll start there. Verse 5. It says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And he goes on. He talks about the Lord's Prayer and he gives some other advice on prayers. The reason my sermon is titled Inside Out today, because I want to talk about getting inside to pray, and I'm going to talk about getting outside. You know, here I love this verse. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who like to go out, you know, in this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would go out on the corner where everybody could see them and give these really lengthy, long prayers. So people say, oh, he's spiritual. you know. But Jesus says, no, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to God. I love this because when I think about this, there's an aspect of our relationship with God, of our prayer life, that needs to be private and secret and intimate. Like secrets between friends. God needs to be like your best friend. You know, my daughter Chloe has a friend come over. I don't know if you have, you know, middle school girls or teenage girls. Maybe boys do this too, but I just have girls. You know, when a friend comes over to her house, what's the first thing they do? They go upstairs to the room and they close the door. You know, I'm a little old school. I'm like, keep it cracked, you know, keep it cracked. But that's what they like to do. And they sit down and they start talking about what's been going on. You know, a good deal of our relationship with God needs to be like that. Where you go, where it's just you and God. Secrets in the dark. Your prayer life needs to be intimate and close. God should know things about you that nobody else knows, not just because he's God, but because you've told him. Think about your prayer life. Is it like a best friend relationship? I try to talk to God about everything. I mean everything. My fears, you know, I pray a lot about these sermons. You know, it's funny, no matter how many times I get up and, you know, I'm a professor, and so I get up in front of students every day. You know, when I get up to preach, I'm always nervous. I just always am. So I like to pray about it. I'm like, God, I'm nervous. God, I feel like there's a part of my heart that I want to be liked. I want people to like my sermon. And I just try to get real about God. I have selfish ambition sometimes. I want people to give me a pat on the back. God, remove that stuff. You know, I talk to him about stuff that doesn't even matter. God, please let Georgia Tech win this football game. Obviously, this year I wasn't praying enough. You know, about my job, about my sins, about things I'm excited about my marriage, about how me and Natasha communicate, about our prayer life, about our physical relationship. I talk to God about everything. I want him to be my best friend. I try to be brutally honest with God. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, is that you're like best friends, like two teenage girls in the room, telling your secrets. Is your prayer life with God like that in some aspects? What's the application to not praying on the street corners? Because I don't think for us that's as big of a deal. I think for us, and particularly with the history of our movement, it's worrying about if people know that you've been praying. Is somebody going to call you up and be like, bro, did you have a quiet time today? And so you're just praying just in case somebody asks you about it. You checked it off the list for today in case Simon calls me and like, bro, did you pray to God today? I can check that off. And Jesus says, don't be like that. It needs to be a relationship where you're close. Oh, sorry, that's in red. That part in red says, go into your private room. Can we, I don't know, maybe next time I'll use white screen, black words, I don't know. But yeah, you know, go into your private room, close the door. Don't do it for man. Don't make it a checklist. You know, it's really interesting. Jesus goes on after this and he talks about fasting. It's very interesting how much in the Bible prayer and fasting go together. One of the things the board and Jim and I, we've been talking about, something, just want to let you guys know, in January, we're going to have a corporate fast as a church. We're going to have 21 days of fasting. Northview did this last year. Last year, our theme was consecration, and we started off the year with a fast. And so we're going to be giving you a lesson and some handouts about fasting. Why do we fast? What is fasting? You know, maybe you want to do food. Maybe you want to do Facebook. Maybe you want to do social media, whatever, you know. But we want to start off the year dedicating ourselves to God, having that private relationship with God, right? But also, it's corporate, too. You know, I love going on prayer walks with Steve Gooch. It's awesome. Greg Dixon and I went on a prayer walk together. Jim Hanna and I have been on a prayer walk. That's awesome, but there's a part of our relationship, you know, that needs to be secret too. So we're going to be giving you more information about the fast. It's really, really awesome. We've got some awesome, what I think are great plans for the new year. We're going to be doing midweeks to start off the year. You heard of the 12 days of Christmas? We're going to do 12 days of prayer. So Ken Williams and Gooch and I are going to be in some talks, and Jim Linehan about kind of a prayer program. I know this past year you started off with 7 days of 24-hour prayer. We want to do something similar, where we're partnering with the Northview Church and praying together. And so prayer and fasting go together. It's a part of that intimate relationship with God that only he knows about. When he talks about fasting, you know, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who tell everybody about it and show up with somber faith. Oh, bro, I'm fasting, man. Dedicating myself to God. You know, no, it's about it's part of your relationship of God that he wants to be just you and him. Private. So point one, number one, is get indoors. Get into whatever that room is for you at your house and spend some best friend time with God. Turn over to Luke chapter 3. Point number two, which is a longer point, is going to be get outdoors. Over in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. You know, I love that Jesus' public ministry starts off with prayer. We can focus a lot on the baptism, which he said, I need to do to fulfill all righteousness. But I love that it starts off with prayer. And God responds, you're my beloved son. I'm well pleased with you. And then Luke takes a little break to give the genealogies. A little side note here. You know, if you ever wonder, why are there so many genealogies in the Bible? That's like just boring. Like, let's be honest. A lot of times when you're reading the whole Bible, you skip the genealogy. I skip them. You skip them too. You know, it's like Jeconiah and Zedekiah. And, you know, but it's really interesting. The reason there are so many genealogies in the Bible is it goes back to Genesis 3. When God cursed the serpent, and he told the woman, hey, your seed is going to crush the serpent's head. Your descendant. And so the whole point of all these genealogies is tracking and figuring out who is that seed. That's why all those genealogies are there. That's why Matthew has one. And Luke did another one. Because they're trying to track who is this seed of Eve that was going to crush the serpent's head. It's Jesus. So that's why the genealogies are there, if you've ever wondered. I'm not going to read that part. I'm going to skip down to the bottom, or to the start of chapter 4 here in Luke 4. It says, so after, you know, his baptism is praying, it says, then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. And so one of the interesting things is Jesus really starts off his ministry with prayer and a spiritual retreat. He spent about a month and a half praying and fasting by himself in the wilderness. When's the last time you took a spiritual retreat? A time where you just set aside, not a vacation, not just time off from work, but a time where you took, let's just say a day, to just go spend the day with God. A really interesting thing, the guy that studied the Bible with me, a guy by the name of Charles Mundy, he told me he used to go on dates with God. He said he'd go out to IHOP or Waffle House, and he'd actually order two plates. I thought it was kind of silly, but he, you know, he ordered two plates, and he's like, he'd sit there, and he'd just read his Bible. He'd talk to God, and he'd be like, all right, God, you're not going to eat your pancakes? I guess I'll eat them for you, you know? You know? And but I just love that idea of an intimate relationship with God. Now I've never done that since, but I just thought it was kind of quirky, but it was kind of cool. He's a Georgia Tech guy. We're nerdy, we're quirky, it's all good, you know. But a spiritual retreat. Why do you think the swamp is so awesome for your kids? Why do they love it? All the stars. All the nature, all the wilderness. It's amazing to just get out in nature and talk to God. You know, at Northview, we have every summer, for the past 3 summers, we've had interns. And the way the internship always starts off is we take them on a retreat. You know, we take them out, and this past year we went up to a lake, and we just have times of prayer, brainstorming, you know, talking, reading scriptures, and it's amazing. You know, I loved it. It reminded me of back when I was in college. You know, we spent the night, and to get up the next morning, and you walk out, and to just see a bunch of people out there having their quiet times, to see 19 and 20 and 21-year-olds up early in the morning at the lake reading their Bible, spending time with God. When's the last time you took a spiritual retreat? The other thing that's interesting about this retreat, he was fasting. For 40 days, he was fasting. He was spending time dedicating himself to God. I think in a lot of ways, he was preparing himself for all these walks. You know, it's so interesting to think about how much Jesus walked around. And there were times when he probably just didn't have food. And this might have been a way to sort of train his body, to train his mind, to train his spirit for times when he's walking from Galilee to Jerusalem for the festival, and it's like a five-day journey, 90 miles. And if you read that story, he went by himself. He waited. His brothers had already went. They wanted him to go early. Said, declare yourself publicly. And he said, no, you go on to the festival. And so he goes a couple of days later, walks 90 miles for 5 days, just him and God. I'm sure he's praying and fasting. But you look at this. This is how Jesus started off his ministry. That's how we want to start off 2018. At Cornerstone. Praying and fasting. You look down in verse 14 of Luke 4. It said, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. You want power in your life? Pray and fast. Jesus got his power not just because he was the Son of God, because he was also the Son of Man. He was fully human too. And so he prayed and fasted. And so he returned after that time full of power in the Spirit. I want the power of the Spirit to be at Cornerstone. I want the power of the Spirit to be at Northview. And so it's going to take us getting indoors and getting outdoors as well. That's where the power in life is, prayer and fasting and time with the Lord. Look over in Luke chapter 5. It's really cool. You know, Luke's gospel is the one that mentions the Holy Spirit the most of all the gospels. It's also the gospel that mentions prayer the most. They just go hand in hand. You want the power of the Spirit? You need to start praying more. Amen. And so, again, going back to reading a book of the Bible in one setting, if you've done that, if you read Luke, you'll see this. It's amazing how much Jesus prays. But in Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verses 15 and 16. So Jesus had just healed a man, and he tells him, don't tell anybody, but just go to the priest and show them and give the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them about your cleansing. And then we pick up in verse 15. But the news spread about him even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. What's the key word in this passage here? Often. Said Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He needed to want to get away. You heard that commercial? Want to get away? Right? Jesus needed to get away. Mark 1, 35 through 37 says very early in the morning, you know, he had been in Capernaum healing people and doing all this stuff. And so the crowds are just coming. It says the whole town, all of Capernaum was at his door. And he was teaching and healing all the way through that whole night. And then it says the next day, very early in the morning, he gets up to go pray. He went off to a deserted, to a solitary place to pray. So this point about getting outdoors is the lonely and deserted places. It says Jesus often withdrew to lonely and deserted places. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to practice what I preach, or I'm preaching about what I practice. You know, I've just been taking prayer walks. You know, my daughter, she plays select soccer, and you know, back when I played select too, we had to get there maybe 20 minutes before the game. Nowadays it's just they've got to get there 45 minutes before the game, and you know, it's just all this stuff. So I always take her. Natasha doesn't. And by the way, Natasha sends her regards She's over at Northview. Noelle, my younger one, has this Christmas singing thing today, so they're over there. But she sends her love to all of you. Chloe is here with me today. But so she has, you know, I had to get there 45 minutes early. And so I take her, and so I decided to go on this trail that's right by the park where she plays. And it was just out in the woods. And, you know, it was just such an amazing time. Once I got past kind of the fear of being, you know, walking around Johns Creek, I'm a black guy out in Johns Creek, walking in a neighborhood that I don't belong to, right? You know, which I'm kidding, you know, but being out there in the woods, just me and the Lord. And I was like, man, why don't I do this more? Like just out in a lonely, deserted place. Praying to God. And I was like, I see why Jesus often did this. When you listen to the birds, when you see the sunlight coming through the trees, it's amazing. When Simon and I went up to Stone Mountain early in the morning while it was still dark to see the sun come up, the lonely and deserted places are where you can just find amazing times with God. Now, some of you might be saying, but Fenton, think about this weekend. You saw what just happened. But Fenton, it's cold outside. That's why I asked Byron to come and sing, because I don't sing, right? You know? Well, here's a solution to that. Put a coat on. You know? My 12-year-old kid, unless it's lightning, they go play. Cold doesn't affect it. Rain doesn't affect it. 12-year-old girls go out and play soccer in the cold and rain. You can put on a coat and go spend some time in a deserted place to pray with God. We're saying we're disciples of Jesus. We need to imitate what he did. You know, when Greg Dixon and I went to pray, but, you know, almost a month ago or so now, it was raining that morning. And I was like, man, is he going to call? And maybe he's going to call and cancel. Should I call and it's raining? You know, and we got together. I just thought, you know what? He had a raincoat on. It's just, you know, it was just awesome to get out and to go pray, even with the rain. It reminds you of how amazing God is. You think about all the awesome things in the Bible that happened in deserted and lonely places. The Ethiopian eunuch's conversion, the road to Emmaus. The deserted and lonely places are where awesome things can happen. Let's get outside. Continuing on in Luke chapter 6, it says in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. During those days, he went out to a mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. Jesus had some all-night prayers. You know, what was he praying about? When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus had a big decision. Quite frankly, one of the most major decisions in his life to make. And what did he do before he made it? He spent all night praying. This is the Son of God, who already knows all things. Why does he need to spend all night praying? Why? I imagine he was praying for these guys. I imagine he was praying for Judas. Praying for Peter. Knucklehead Peter. He really, when he had a big decision to make, he spent all night praying to God. Think about the big decisions in your life. How do you go about making them? Do you just look at the facts of the situation? Was it really wise to pick a zealot and a tax collector? Both of those guys to be apostles? Was that a wise decision? To pick Judas, a greedy guy who was going to be taking money out of the bag, to be the treasurer? Was that a wise decision? God thought so. But according to human facts, it wouldn't be. So Jesus spent a bunch of time praying. When's the last time we've had an all-night prayer about a major decision in our life? I can tell you, the last time I prayed all night was easily over 6 or 7 years ago. It was in the Kansas City church. We had a brothers all night prayer, and we did the Acts method, if you've ever heard that. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, right? And we had a brother do each one of those, a lesson on each one, and then we go pray. We split up into groups. We come back and fellowship and talk, and we did that all night. And I was just like, man, it's been a long time since I've done that. But think about the major decisions in your life, whether it's moving to another city, changing your job. Here's one that'll hit home. Changing your church. How much time do we spend praying about that stuff? And that's not to anybody specifically in here, but if it pings your heart, think about it. I know there are people here that are thinking, man, I don't know, you know, these Northview guys and Fenton, he's a Georgia Tech guy. I mean, you know, I may need to get out of here, you know? How much time have you spent praying about that decision? Jesus did. I love that he spent time praying about the specific people in his life. You know, one of the things I decided to do, so grateful for your board, it's been awesome working with them, is they sent me a roster of everybody here. And I decided for the month of December, I'm going to pray for 6 families at Cornerstone every single day by name. And so I've just got my little notebook here, and every day, I go and I write down 6 names, and I just go pray. Some of the people I know, so, you know, the board, I've been praying about specific things I know in their life, because I know them, you know. Simon, I know him, you know, and those of you that I've met. But some of the people on here, I don't know if they're even here anymore, I don't know, but I've just been praying for you. Praying for your marriages, for your parenting, for your finances, for your walk with God. I've just been praying for you. You know, and so I guess today it'll make 60 people or 60 families, because I've been praying for 6 a day, you know. And it's been awesome. I just feel closer to you all already just because I've been praying for you. I've been trying to just imitate Jesus. And it's funny, I was like, man, I've never done this at Northview. I need to do this at Northview. You know, I was like, all right, January, I'm going to do this at Northview. But I've just been praying for you all by name. Now, I'm up to the H's. I think today I'll be praying for Mary Hartz, Beth Heller, Josh, Clarice Helligar, Chris and Cheryl Higgins, Josh and Megan Holt. You know, if you've got stuff specifically that you would like for me to pray, come up to me. I'll write it down. Right now it's pretty generic. You know, but if you got specific things, I will gladly pray for you. But we need to be doing it. We need to be praying for the people in our lives. We need to get outside, get alone with God, and wrestle in prayer for the people that we care about. Jesus told Simon, Satan wants to sift you. And he said, but I prayed for you, Simon, that when you turn back, you'll strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed for the people in his life. We need to be specifically praying for people in our life. We need to get outdoors when we make major decisions in our life and pray to God about them. We'll close out here. This is over in Matthew 13. I'm sorry, Matthew 14. Give you a little background here. John the Baptist had just been killed, and Jesus hears about it. They come and report it to him. And so this is Jesus' response to hearing that the last Old Testament prophet, his cousin, had been killed. Let's see what Jesus tries to do. Over in Matthew 14, we're going to start in verse 13. Excuse me. It said, when Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. What was Jesus' response to a crazy emotional situation? I gotta go get some alone time with the Father. You know, what is our response? Is it just talk to more people? You know, one of the awesome things that Steve said in his sermon when he preached was, you know, we get so into getting advice from people, which is a great thing in and of itself, but he was like, spend 30 days praying about something before you come talk to me for counseling. And so I was like, amen. Because I appreciate his wisdom. And so I said, all right, Natasha, December, we're going to spend 30 days praying together every night this month. I think we've only missed one night. Well, she fell asleep and I was praying over her, you know, that night, you know. But it's not, no. Let me clear it up. All right. My wife does a lot. She works a full-time job, does the majority of the housework at home, and I should have made a better decision to ask her to pray earlier, you know, and I was running around doing stuff. But no, we've just been praying together every night. We've been praying for Northview. We've been praying for you. We've been praying for our children. But when something crazy happens, how do you respond? Do you immediately try to get some time with God? Or do we run to man? Or do we self-medicate with drugs, alcohol, with work? Do we just get more into work? Do we self-medicate with pornography or sex? Or are we like Jesus and we try to go get alone and get some time with God? But this story is amazing. Listen to what happens. It says, when the crowds heard this, in verse 13, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, this place is deserted and it is already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the village and buy food for themselves. And so you know what happens here. It's the feeding of the 5,000. So Jesus gets interrupted. He wanted to go get some alone time, but he gets interrupted. Our lives are busy. We got jobs, marriages, mortgages. Georgia's going to the college football playoff. Clemson's going to the college football playoff. Alabama's going to the college. We've got TV to watch. We've got stuff going on. You know? We get interrupted. But I love that the story doesn't end here. Again, reading the Bible in one setting, right? You keep reading, you're going to see some awesome stuff. So he goes, he feeds the 5,000. And then if you pick up in verse 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. So what happens? He gets interrupted, but he doesn't just dismiss his time with God and say, I'm just too busy to pray. His time to God was sacred time. Is your time to God sacred? Is he your best friend that you whisper to in the private room? Is he your best buddy, your walking buddy that you take prayer walks with? Do you dedicate a weekend to him? To going on a retreat just to spend with him? I love that Jesus was not too busy doing ministry to have a great relationship with the Father. Are we too busy just doing church stuff? Now, again, church stuff is awesome. I appreciate the people that are serving in all kinds of ways. Getting with people in their homes, opening your home, right? But the time with God needs to be sacred time. So, in closing, as always, I want to give you two challenges. First challenge, start thinking about and praying about what you'd like to fast from when we start. I think we're going to go January 10th to January 31st. Start praying about it, thinking about it. You know, I wouldn't suggest not eating for 21 days. I would not suggest that at all. You know, but maybe you give up meat, sweets, Facebook. Look, we timed it to be after the national championship, so if you want to give up TV, right, and you're a Clemson, Georgia, Alabama fan, you can do it after that. You know, you know, but you start praying about it, talking to people about it. Talk to your spouse, your closest friends. Ask them. Ask their advice. Pray about it. And the second thing is, get inside. Go to your private room this week. Have a best friend talk with God in your private room. And get outside. Take a prayer walk, a prayer hike, time in the park, by the lake. You know, last week Jim talked about quality time. Today I'm talking about quiet time, not quiet times, quiet time with the Lord. Get outside for some quiet time with the Lord. So thank you for your attention today. Love you so much. Let's be praying. Amen.